next presenter is Sam Beeler. He's a researcher at the Urban Institute. He's published on, and he researches gun violence. He's published on gunfire mapping and healthcare costs of gun violence. His work has been featured in Atlantic, Economist, CNN Money, so I'll let him take it from there.
Thanks, Ted, and hi, everyone. I'm going to be talking today about gunfire detection technology and some of the opportunities that this technology has for letting us take a new look at gunfire and gun violence in American communities. So to give you a brief outline of what I'm going to be going through, I'm going to start by telling you just a little bit about this technology, a little bit about how it functions. Then we're going to move into a case study Urban did looking at gunfire around schools during the 2011-2012 school year in Washington, D.C., and I'll end up with just some limitations of the technology and some of the big next steps we see in researching this. So, the way gunfire detection technology functions is that when a gunshot goes off, a sensor, a network of sensors, because very often these act in concert, relay that information to police. Sensors work together to triangulate the information and to relay this information to police to within about 25 meters accuracy. Now, this technology is actually already in 60 cities. In fact, it's deployed in Louisiana. There are three sites where this technology is live now. There's 8 miles of coverage in the capital, Baton Rouge. There's another 3 miles in Jefferson Parish, and in the county seat of Jefferson Parish, there's actually another 1 mile in that county seat, Gretna. So this is technology that has a huge amount of potential because it's in a large number of cities and because the data is very easy to work with. This is an actual cut of data from the study that I'll be showing you very shortly, and I think it really illustrates quite well some of the advantages of the system. First of all, the data is incredibly granular. It doesn't just go down to the day or the hour, but it actually goes all the way down to the second. So that's a kind of precision that we really have never had before for determining exactly where a violent incident occurs. The other thing, as you can see, is that it has latitude and longitude already built in, and that means that a researcher can very quickly and very easily go in, code this data very quickly, and really detect gunfire with new levels of accuracy. The other advantage of this is that because it's in so many cities, you can create this kind of consistent data set very quickly. I'm sure a lot of people who have done cross-city studies are familiar with the challenges of trying to reconcile 3 different counties' data, 8 different counties' data, getting 8 different approvals. In this case, it's going to be this same format, saves time, saves resources, gives you a new degree of consistency. So, what we decided to do using this tool was to look at gunfire around D.C. schools for the 2011-2012 school year, and we really fully exploited the time series detail it gives us. We cut out all the summer months. We focused on 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. We moved all the holidays, all the professional development days. That left us with 35 gunshots that occurred when children were actively in school. And what we did then was we mapped all the gunshots that occurred within 1,000 feet of schools. You can see up here we have DC's Integrated Design and Electronics Academy. And the way we mapped them, and I'll show you a full map in a moment, is that schools that had gunshots within 500 feet were mapped in black. Schools that had them within 1,000 feet were in red. Now, the reason we picked those two distances is because at 1,000 feet, the sound of gunfire is audible even if you're indoors. And if you want to know what that sounds like, we've actually put up on our website an 8-round gunfire incident at both 1,000 feet and 500 feet. So you can go on and you can listen to what it sounds like if you were sitting in that black dot hearing that sound of gunfire. The other thing we did, because we want to give communities in D.C. a chance to see how this links into their community as well, we link this to the Google Street View API. So if you go onto our website, you can click on any gunshot dot, and it'll take you right down to the Street View where that incident occurred. So what did we find? Well, if you look at all the schools, and we looked at all the public charter schools, all the public schools, there were a huge number of schools with incidents either in 1,000 feet or even closer range within 500 feet. In fact, 54% of D.C. schools had at least one burst of gunfire within 1,000 feet. And of those 336 shots that we found that occurred during the school day, 54% of those within a school. So initially we thought this cut against a lot of the prevailing wisdom in the field of gun violence that gunfire occurs kind of tightly concentrated in social networks and tightly concentrated geographically. But if you start to break out schools, a different picture emerges. So Smothers Elementary School, for example, had only a single gunshot within 1,000 feet. If you look, for example, however, at Friendship PCS, now you're talking about 16 gunshots within 1,000 feet. And there's this small core of schools, about 9% of schools, that had 48% of the total incidents. And you can see again, if you actually look, those are schools on my left, those are sized by the amount of gunfire they had, and then shots on the right, those are the highlighted shots of the ones that occurred around Friendship PCS. If we go even closer, we now look at 500 feet, you can see that 30% of schools had at least one incident within 500 feet. And four schools actually had multiple, huge number of incidents, as many as 8 to 11 gunfire incidents within 500 feet in the course of a single year. And for those 9% of schools that had 48% of the gun violence, those are schools that had 8 to 16 incidents within 1,000 feet over the course of the school year. The other thing we did was we decided to look, what I put up now, these are access hours incidents. We focused in on gunshots that occurred between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. And that's when kids are going into school, coming out of school, they're either outside or near the entrances, very tightly concentrated. And we found that 22% of D.C. schools in our sample had at least one access hours incident over the course of the 2011-2012 school year, and a few had more. So obviously this is, we think, an incredibly powerful source of data, but it has important limitations. Now, these are pictures from a separate project, Urban RAN, asking people who had experienced gun violence in the Richmond community to go out and take some photographs of how they felt gun violence has affected them. And one of our community volunteers came back and talked about her experiences with domestic violence. And the reason I've put these up is because this is an area where gunfire detection technology simply isn't going to be as useful. The technology is very limited in what it can do if a shot occurs indoors. And with regards to what Dr. Campbell was speaking about earlier, where a gun is used to threaten, to menace, or control, we won't see that because there's no discharge. So it's a powerful tool. We have to be very appreciative of its limitations. Simultaneously, another important limitation is that there are false positives. Firecrackers, car backfires, these are decreasing in number as people refine the technology, but they're still there, and one of the best ways you can deal with this is to work with your police department, work with local researchers who have used the data. They've gotten very good at kind of figuring out the kinks. I know we did after several false positives. So finally, there's the issue of data access. Now, the advantage of data access is that gunfire detection data will often be held by a private company. So for anyone who's had to go through 18 different levels of approval to get access to a certain public data source, something that we can all appreciate. The downside, however, is that there will be charges that come with the data. So researchers interested in this are going to need to start thinking about how to resource their projects in order to have the funds on hand to access that data. So the big next steps, first of all, we think is validating this as a research tool. Some of the big sources of gun violence are calls for service related to gun crimes and reported gun crimes, and that's what we've been using for years to predict violence, to map gun violence. Now we have a new source, and what we wanted to start to look at was how this new source of data reflects, tracks, or tells us something different from those two sources. So what we've put up here are two different regression models done over the city of D.C., where the first is we try to relate calls for gun crimes to reported gun crimes. That's first snap, and then in the second, we do the same thing, but this time we use our gunfire detection technology. And even this first cut shows that there are very different patterns in what we're seeing. So it's clear that gunfire detection technology does have something new to tell us about patterns of gun violence, about the location of gun violence in the city, but we need to do a lot more work to figure out what that is. The other big thing we want to do, since we've started with a focus on schools, is to understand how hearing the sound of gunfire affects children. We know that children exposed to violence suffer from a range of potential negative outcomes: PTSD, lowered academic and vocational attainment, anger, and disassociation. But with a powerful new tool to figure out where kids are exposed to gun violence, we can map the routes to school, and we can get a better look at how this affects kids. And the final piece of the puzzle we think is really important, in addition to evaluating the effect of gun violence on the community health and the community's psychological and social health is figuring out its effect on the community's financial health. We believe that gunfire and gun violence may have an effect on community business revenues, on home values, and what we hope to do in the future very soon is to integrate this technology with community business revenues to understand gun crime's effect on community's ability to build wealth. So I'm looking forward to hearing what my fellow presenters have to say, and can't wait to answer any questions.